brought to you by Burr and Foreman, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for Results Matter Radio, where we bring you pertinent business information and offer real-life solutions to help drive desired results for you, whatever your business may be. Now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth Gordon and Lee Cantor.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Results Matter Radio. I'm Elizabeth Gordon, and we've got a special show here for you today, spotlighting Leadership Atlanta. With me in the studio this morning are Elaine Hudson, who is the Manager of Marketing and Programs for Leadership Atlanta. Welcome, Elaine.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Steve Church is also here with us from Georgia Pacific, Peggy Still Johnson with Callenwald Fine Arts Center, and also we've got Jim Durrett with Buckhead Community Improvement District. They're all part of Leadership Atlanta's class of 2013, and Elaine's going to start us off as the Manager of Marketing and Programs for Leadership Atlanta. Elaine, I was hoping you could describe the program a bit for people who may not be familiar with the Leadership Atlanta program.
Absolutely. Leadership Atlanta was founded in 1969. The first graduating class was in 1970, so that gives you some idea of how we like to confuse ourselves within the organization. There is never a dull moment. So the class of 2013 just graduated, and it's a 9-month course program where eager professionals who are already committed to improving Atlanta and the region apply to get a deeper dive into the issues that surround the city. For example, we have an education day, and that's very broad, which is good because issues in education change. We typically have an immersion activity along or during the program day where we visit public schools. Then there's a healthcare day, which was extremely pertinent this year because of the healthcare law that was passed, and just how each person is affected by a certain issue. We do have members in the class who are married and have children, so it seems obvious we would have an education day, but there are people in the class who are single and don't have kids, so why does it matter to them? And all of these issues we've learned or try to convey to the class is that they are intertwined. They are related to each other, and each piece of the puzzle affects the other piece. So in addition to our program days, which are once a month and they are all day, it starts at 7:30 and ends around 5 or 5:30, we have study groups which meet after a program day, and they just take a deeper dive into the issues at hand, and they are of smaller members of the class. So our class last year was 81, and the study groups have about 10 people in them. So it's an intimate setting. It's a safe space to talk about what you liked about the day, what you didn't like about the day. And then there are leadership projects, community leadership projects, where another cohort is broken off of the class, and they are involved in helping a nonprofit. A large segment of our class typically is corporate, works for a for-profit business, and this gives them a glimpse into how nonprofits work. It's not as easy as it seems. And then also, they get more exposure to an issue like homelessness, hunger. And again, it's a way for them to learn how to work amongst other leaders.
So it's a very comprehensive and time intensive program. I like to maybe go around the table and have each of you kind of describe why you first of all felt like this was really an important program to invest so much time into, and what was, you know, the most memorable aspect of the Leadership Atlanta program over the last 9 months for you. Steve, let's start with you. You manage communications and public affairs for Georgia Pacific Consumer Products, which obviously is the leading paper towel and bath tissue maker. We're very proud of them here in Atlanta.
Absolutely.
Talk about your experience with the Leadership Atlanta program.
Sure. You know, I've been with Georgia Pacific for 18 years. I actually live out in the suburbs, but travel downtown every day to Georgia Pacific for 18 years, and really felt it was time to give something back to the city, to understand the city issues more. And it worked for me personally. I have children who are now getting older, 20-year-old at Georgia Tech and a 16-year-old in high school. So it allowed me to have the time, as you said. It is quite a time commitment, both during the workday and the weekends and at nights. So I really had the time to reinvest in it. I really felt it was the right time for me to spend some time to understand the issues in Atlanta. I do participate on the board with Chris Kidd's marketing committee, so that gave me a little taste of some issues in Atlanta. But this was really my way to get a better understanding and then the launching pad for how I want to get more involved in the city.
So how did the program change or impact your understanding of Atlanta and the greater region?
I would say probably two ways. One is a much deeper understanding of the issues that we're dealing with. I think we all read the papers, listen to radio shows, and we understand, I think, at some level those issues. This was really a much deeper understanding, a very personal understanding. I think you go from sort of the logic and the cerebral understanding it to really understanding it in your heart when you meet some of these people that you meet during the program. So that to me was kind of the biggest. And then the other thing is, I think to Elaine's part, a lot of things that we learned about have a common thread. And one of them in the city of Atlanta is the regional nature of these issues, which I think other cities struggle with. But I'd have to say we learned that Atlanta really struggles with that. There's sort of Atlanta, and then there's these areas around it that are defined as being the greater metropolitan area. But do we really behave that way? Do we really attack these issues in a regional way?
Absolutely. Peggy, let's move over to you. Currently the executive director of Callenwald Fine Arts Center, you in 2011 sold the Peggy Still School of Music and also have a company in productions and talent. So let's hear about your perspective on the experience with Leadership Atlanta. How did it change your understanding of Atlanta, and what were some of the more memorable aspects of the program for you?
Leadership Atlanta was life-changing. I was told when I applied for Leadership Atlanta that it would be life-changing. I was like, oh, okay. You know, and I already felt that I was a leader, you know, a voice for kids and for all artists in the Metro Atlanta area. And I've always been big on arts education and just bringing the arts to Atlanta and claiming a stake in the film and music business and not feeling like we don't have to go to New York or LA to work. So that's been my big cause. I came away from Leadership Atlanta ever changed, caring more about the city, caring more about issues that I didn't even have a grasp on, with healthcare, with kids that are hungry when they go to school, with our transportation and our seniors who we need to work on senior wellness more. And there was so much that I grasped from Leadership Atlanta. It led me down a path where when I went into Leadership Atlanta, you know, I had sold my company, which is still in existence today, and then I started 2 years ago the Peggy Johnson Productions and Talent, working in film and television and with recording artists. But about halfway through Leadership Atlanta, an opportunity came my way to apply for as executive director for Callenwald Fine Arts Center, and it was just an absolute, yes, I'll do it. Yes, I want to do it. Yes, I want to be part of the community. Yes, DeKalb County owns Callenwald, and yes, I want to be a voice. And I went into Leadership Atlanta not thinking about that, and came out of there with a new job.
It's such a perfect fit for you. Absolutely. It's amazing how those opportunities open up.
But I think learning about a big part of is just such a fabulous place because of the arts education and but on top of that, it is on the historic registry. It is a part of Atlanta, you know, built by Charles Howard Candler, which the Candler family is such a big part of Atlanta. So that's something I didn't know about. I knew Candler, Coca-Cola, but I had no idea how much the Candlers had done for Atlanta until I went through Leadership Atlanta.
Absolutely. It's amazing. I just finished that book, Formula for Fortune, and it's amazing the impact that the Candlers have had on this city. And I think a lot of people who are newcomers, or, you know, I've been here 12 years, but you don't realize the people that really laid a lot of the groundwork. Jim, let's turn over to you for a minute. Buckhead Community Improvement District representative here. Tell us your experience with the group and how you related to the program days and the information that you learned over the course of the program.
Well, we've spoken a good bit about the issues that we all learned a lot about. What was most impactful for me was developing very close relationships with my classmates. We went through not only a cerebral experience where we got to comprehend issues and how they relate to each other, but it was also extremely emotional because of how deep we went and how safe the place is to have good conversations and honest and open conversations and share with your classmates about what matters to you, what makes you tick. I learned a lot about myself in this program. And I believe that I've come away with 80 very close friends. I've come away with a commitment to double down on my investment in the community. I've been in nonprofit work since 1996 here in Atlanta, and so I've always, because of my parents and how they brought me up, I've always been dedicated to working in the community. But having gone through this program and built a network of fabulous leaders and dear friends, I think we're all now much more committed to understanding and working on the problems in the community to help Atlanta and this region be the very best place in the country going forward. So that's sort of my takeaway from all of this.
And you have a unique viewpoint of working in development of, you know, urban environments, creating more livable landscape. I mean, the Buckhead Community Improvement District is specifically focused on creating a more walkable and livable urban environment. Were there programs that stuck out to you in terms of how the ripple effects of the impacts that we make when we invest in our communities and create a change in the urban landscape, how that affects the rest of the community?
Sure. One of the program days was broadly titled Regional Issues Day. And one of the things that we all talked about in that program was transportation. It wasn't that long ago that prospective penny transportation tax was a failed ballot measure here in the metropolitan Atlanta region and throughout much of Georgia. And what I do with the Buckhead Community Improvement District is take our tax dollars that we collect there and leverage other dollars in order to build a more complete urban environment, transforming our roads, which are really sewers for cars, into streets for people, walkable, bikeable streets that do accommodate automobiles appropriately. But it's all about placemaking and creating a great urban place where people are going to want to be. And not just in their car going between places. So that was the most relevant in terms of what I do for a living. But to me, it wasn't the most important thing. The most important things were those things that we really dove into that you sort of had a sense about, but now you feel like you've got ownership of. And when you knit all these things together, that's what community health is and prosperity is all about. And we haven't mentioned the race relations immersion weekend, which was one of the most powerful experiences I have had in my life, right up there with getting married and the birth of my children in terms of impact to me. So
I think I need to hear more about that. Would somebody else like to talk a bit about the Race Relations Weekend? That sounds very interesting.
I'm with Jim. It absolutely was the most memorable part of this, life-changing to Peggy's, to mention what Peggy mentioned. But I have tried to explain that and talk about it to the people who I love dearly, family and friends. And I'll be honest, I've been unsuccessful. It is just something you have to experience. Al Vivian is amazing. That course course doesn't even really describe it. There is no word. Weekend is about what you can say. And I think it really has been something that has changed my life. It's changed my perspective. And now I think Jim and I have talked about it now is how do you change your behavior? And I'm on that path.
That's amazing. And especially with such a prominent class, I mean, all of the members of the Leadership Atlanta class are in, you know, leadership roles in the community, be it corporate or nonprofit, and that can have such a huge impact on the community with all of these high-level leaders increasing their overall awareness.
I think, if I can add, it was definitely another life-changing experience going through the Race Relations Weekend. It was disturbing and enlightening and comforting and disturbing. it was something that when you hear your fellow classmates tell you stories about things that have happened to them, and I'm Asian American, you know, my mother is Japanese, and though I have felt, you know, at times I have felt prejudiced against me for being Asian, I still had no idea what, you know, what our brothers and sisters of African descent have gone through in this country and especially in the South. And it has definitely made me take another step towards not just to trying to stop it and to trying to understand it and have compassion.
It's powerful. Elaine, would you like to tell us a little bit more about the Community Leadership Project, and then we'll have the class members talk specifically about theirs?
Absolutely. The Community Leadership Projects, we send out an RFP to nonprofits in the area, asking them if they have a specific project or assignment that they need help on. And they come back to us with their proposal. And the major requirement Leadership Atlanta has on the nonprofits is, are you amenable to having your idea changed? So you might think it's a marketing problem. You might think it's a revenue problem. Well, you're going to have 10 very strong-willed and smart people examine that proposal and might have a different approach. Truly Living Well Farms was one of the organizations who needed help. And they had a very, I think, a good situation where their operations were growing faster than their staff. So how do we keep up with that? And so a group of 10 Leadership Atlanta class members work throughout the year helping them identify the main challenges and then helping them arrive at a tangible result.
If I could jump in here, because Truly Living Well was my group project. And basically what they said is we need to have in place a healthcare program that will help us attract and keep employees, because we can't pay very much, so we need to come up with
some creative benefit package.
Exactly. So we got together, and pretty much in no time we had solved that because of our connections and our expertise. And so we just simply said, what else do we collectively have in terms of expertise and connections now that we are really beginning to understand their program that we can do in this period of time. And so we just blew the doors wide open in terms of what we were able to help them with. And it's just by having these type A creative people saying, who do I know, what do I know, and how can I make connections in order to open doors? And I think that sort of thing happened throughout all of the nonprofits that we were working with.
That's awesome. Peggy, what was your experience?
Because, you know, I've worked in education, so I obviously went on to the education project, which was the study hall, which is an after-school program for kids at risk who basically after school they go to the study hall and they're fed and taught not just only how to do their homework, but how to have a five-point scholar model of how to live, which is amazing that they came up with this. So our job was to go in there and help them be able to evaluate and come up with a system that they could track the measure of each student and how much they had gained from the program. That's a very difficult thing to do when there was not a whole lot of data. So we had to go through boxes and boxes of papers and make sense out of it. And then because our group was so diverse, we had David Jernigan of the KIPP schools who opened the door to the APS school system and to the testings and helped them to be able to get a way to measure the data of each student, and that in turn would help them be able to get grants. But what we came away from there with was trying to help them to be able to grow their program, help them to be able to support the executive director and hire more staff and help the board understand that. And then on top of that, we fell in love with the study hall to the point where I know personally I have offered to mentor Jaquita Watkins, who is the executive director, on how to grow the study hall like I've done with my past company that I sold. And Callan Wald also went ahead and made them part of our outreach program as well with arts education. So it's I don't see that my personal relationship with the study hall is going to end. It's going to continue from this. As far as getting along and working together, yeah, we had moments where it was difficult because you have, 10 people that are all leaders and we're all used to being the one leading everyone else and we're having to lead each other and who's in charge and who's in charge and it's and who's going to follow. And it was a really good experience for us to learn how to follow.
That's very interesting. Absolutely. Steve, what about you?
My group worked with the Georgia Campaign on Adolescent Pregnancy Prevention, GCAP. They're actually now known, they would want me to say, as the Georgia Campaign on Adolescent Power and Potential, which really helps you understand that the issue is much broader. And they specifically, very interesting, they did a good job, I thought a very good job of defining exactly what they needed. And what they wanted was our help in getting parents to talk to their teens about this issue. The data shows that parents do not have this conversation as early and as often as they should. And so it was fun. We kind of went through with Vicky Marr and Bev Jones at the GCAP the reasons why parents don't talk. And they're really myths that parents have. And then the facts that blow those myths apart. And then we chose two of those. There's lots of reasons. We chose two and created short video YouTube or PSA type videos to convince parents to have this conversation. One of them was because parents think their children are too young. And of course, it's incredible how young children nowadays are involved in this. And the other is that, interestingly, parents don't think their kids want to hear from them. And that's often because that's what kids say around their parents. But when GCAP gets the kids alone, they tell them, I really wish my parents would talk to me about this because I value their opinion. And of course, teenagers often can't say that to their parents, but that's how they feel. So it was a really amazing experience. And you may know this group was formed by Jane Fonda. And I think at the time, Georgia was last or first, however you want to rank in teen pregnancy, and has moved up or moved down, however you want to say it.
We have improved. 35th.
Yes, we've improved. We've got better at preventing these. And I think one of the things that I took away from this was, obviously, it's a very personal an effect on teens and families, but that you learn the broader impact that this has on the community, like a lot of issues that we learned about, that you think about them sort of on a personal level, but in fact has a tremendous impact on the community.
Absolutely.
There was, if I can add one more thing, there was one group that was really interesting. They actually brought all the groups together, and that was the Boys and Girls Club. They had the 75th anniversary, and they did the 75 blue doors throughout Metro Atlanta. And many of those doors ended up at locations that are leadership from our class. Like, for example, we have a door at Callenwald. I know that CNN has a door because of Parisa ongoing. So you'll see these doors all over town. But note that many of those doors are there because of our class.
And that's awesome.
And if I can make a point, all of the community leadership projects created remarkable, tangible results. I mean, the doors and the PSAs and the business plans. I mean, just really knocked it out of the park, and we're so proud of them for the hard work they invested into those organizations. I also want to mention that, as you've heard in their remarks, there were a lot of intangibles. For example, a greater awareness of teen pregnancy, of children, of hunger, of the arts. And so while this is definitely an exercise to help community organizations, it's also a self-awareness exercise. How do I work with other leaders? How do I follow? And that's what we really like to see.
Elizabeth, there was one other aspect that was extremely valuable. We all had opportunities to go and meet with and have a very intimate conversation with business leaders and other leaders in Atlanta, just to understand their perspectives on the responsibility of leadership, what they saw as their strengths that enabled them to be leaders, what mistakes they have made in the past that they've learned from. We got to meet with C-suite folks from Cousins Properties, from Turner Broadcasting, the Home Depot, Georgia Pacific. There must have been a dozen opportunities to have these intimate conversations with these business and other leaders and really understand their personal take on leadership. So that was, to me, an extremely important part of this. This being Leadership Atlanta, it's about more than just understanding issues.
Absolutely. Well, and coming off of that, having had these doors open to be able to get insight into some of the most powerful leaders in Atlanta, what do you all see as Atlanta's greatest assets? We've talked a lot about the challenges, but what assets do you see the city having, and how strategies for how to leverage them to improve the city and the region?
I think that Atlanta is a big, small town. And you still feel like it's a small town, but it's big. And there's so much here. We have, we have sports, we have music, we have a wonderful airport, just so much hope. And I would hope that we would go forward to try to unite Metro Atlanta. And I think, instead of having everybody in silos with their own things, and that's what I really gained from Leadership Atlanta was that we're all together, not just pushing our own thing, but we're all together trying to do good for Atlanta together.
I like it.
I would just add that one of the leaders that we met with, actually a education leader relatively new to the city of Atlanta. Interestingly, his perspective was based on where other cities where he's lived and worked, that Atlanta's business community is very engaged in the city. And I want to make sure that's not just my bias being from a big company, but Georgia Pacific and a lot of other companies are very involved in the community. We are a big supporter of Leadership Atlanta. We've been supporting the Education Day for a long time. We put members into the classes. But I think it's great that the business community sees their role. And clearly, I think one of the things we learned in Leadership Atlanta is how important it is to work together with the nonprofits, with the community groups, with the government groups to try to make changes.
What specific leadership skills do you feel like you gained having gone through this program, looking back on it now?
You know, I'll just keep going. I guess I'll mention that Lisa Gordon, the chair of our an alumnus of Leadership Atlanta and the chair of our committee, I thought she made a great recommendation to us at the beginning of the class, which was really focus on doing something very different personally. So if and I think we're picking up on that, right? If you're a leader, see what it feels like to be a follower. If you're the extrovert, try to be more of an introvert in these groups. So I did personally tried to do a lot more listening in the small groups, in the study groups, in the project groups. So I think it was a great opportunity to try some leadership skills different than the ones you typically think of as your strengths, and in this instance, sort of probably attack a weakness. So
that's great. Well, and to that note, I mean, was there anything that surprised you about the program, about yourself, or about your fellow classmates as you became more entrenched in the group?
I think I was surprised at how much it changed me. I went into it thinking this was going to be a great way to network, meet other people, you know, help my own cause, you know, and I came out of there with, as Jim said, over 80 new friends for life. I mean, you don't go through something like this and not be changed and not really have close relationships. And I was told this in the beginning, and I was like, yeah, you know, but it was. I don't even think the three of us can really put into words what we went through. And we will forever be grateful to Leadership Atlanta for picking us to be part of this class.
I'll share this. I didn't know this, but I think it's pretty clear to me that I've been carrying a rather strong egocentric bias in everything I've been doing the past 20 or so years, and I came into the Leadership Atlanta program with this attitude of I doubt I'm going to get much from this program, but at least I can contribute something to it, make this a great experience for other people. And what absolutely stunned me is how much I got back from this program. It completely dwarfed any contribution that I possibly made to it. And I have, since going through this program, I'm thinking about, as I engage with my employees, as I engage with others in doing policy work in Atlanta, I'm constantly reminding myself, hey, sit back, listen, understand the other person's perspective. Don't jump out there with what you think is the answer until everybody feels that that they have contributed to the discussion and brought something of value to the conversation. So that's something that's
huge, and I'm sure not an uncommon feeling. I mean, for people who are used to being in charge or being the one that's sort of leading the charge.
I think what happened to many of us, because a lot of people have mentioned this to me as well, is that you go in thinking that they're lucky to have me because, you know, I can contribute so much, you know, and then you go into orientation and you think, how did I get into this group? Because they're so amazing people. You're thinking, I don't belong here. And then throughout the year, you realize your place and you realize exactly why you were picked and why you're there. And then you leave with knowing what they want you to do from it.
Well, first, we are very lucky to have you. All of you were very lucky. And I want to thank you for giving Leadership Atlanta so much credit in your transformation. I have to say, we're not a machine. So you don't step onto a gurney and go through a portal and become changed on the other side. You have to allow yourself to be vulnerable. You have to open your minds and your hearts and be active, be amenable to change. So this is not a passive organization. I mean, I cannot promise you that if you apply and you get in,
you're going to walk out with 80 friends. I can't promise you that you're going to be changed. That's you. And so you really need I need to give yourselves credit for changing and wanting to alter your behavior.
I thought I was getting rid of my egocentric bias, and you're putting it right back in.
Oh, no.
I think you definitely get what you put into it. You know, when you did the CEO roundtables, which was amazing, I went to almost every one, which was crazy. I don't know how I fit it all in, but I would do it again in a heartbeat. So thank you, CEOs. Please do it again next year.
That's great. And the Leadership 2014 class has already been selected.
It has.
Correct, Elaine. And, you know, this program continues to gain a lot of steam and momentum and just build upon all of what the foundation that's been laid year after year.
Elaine, may I add something here? Because you were talking about, it's not a machine. You would be blown away by how much contribution to the program is made from alumni. It is absolutely overwhelming how many people who have gone through this program have said, I am investing my time, my talent, and my treasure in this to make sure others get the same benefit that I got. It's hundreds of people who are making sure that we have the very best experience possible. And I tell you what, I have no doubt that almost all of the members of our class are going to be volunteering in the future help with future classes.
Absolutely.
That's great. And that brings me to, what advice would you give to potential applicants or future Leadership Atlanta members on how they can make the most of this really valuable experience?
Well, probably just to pick up on what Elaine said, which is to really open yourself up to this experience. To invest the time. They did tell us that very clearly at orientation. And despite all the time commitment, I would say commit even more time to it. So I think a lot of us, even in addition to all the programs, went to breakfast with classmates, had dinner with classmates and spouses, and again, really just leveraged that as the opening to really build upon those relationships. So it is a tough time commitment. I don't know how some of our classmates did it. One of them even gave birth in the middle of the class. I think she missed like one thing. She came out of the hospital and went right to a Leadership Atlanta
program.
Oh, yeah.
And there were,
I know Tim from UPS, he was flying in from all over the country, you know. All over the world, you know, just to make these events. It was a huge commitment, you know.
Well, and during the year, a class member got sick from traveling overseas and working to help others, helping a water system or developing a water system, a clean water system.
In Haiti.
And the class just came together and supported him, supported the cause he was working for, visited him in the hospital, wrote him letters, and they essentially had just met him.
Yep.
So I don't know if y'all want to talk a little bit about that.
Well, we all came together and we bought an artesian well that has since been installed in the northern tip of Haiti. And that well is providing potable water for tens of thousands of Haitians and improving their lives. That water, clean water, is so fundamental to being able to do anything else in life. And what he was working on really resonated with us. And then if you really want to be successful raising money, get sick. After you've developed these friendships, it really was something special.
That's really awesome. Well, we're almost out of time. I want to make sure we get contact information out for everyone. This has been a really enlightening conversation with the Leadership Atlanta class of 2013. Jim, if people want to find out more about the Buckhead Community Improvement District, where can they go?
Well, the website is buckheadcid.com. Twitter is @buckheadcid. And you can reach me just by going through our website.
Perfect. Thank you. Peggy Still Johnson, how about contact for the Callenwald Fine Arts Center? There's so many great programs taking place.
Thank you so much for asking. Our website is callenwald.org, which is spelled C-A-L-L-A-N. WOLDE, callenwald.org. And we have our Jazz on the Lawn series that is coming up, which we're very excited about. We've got concerts coming up for that. And then obviously we have our biggest fundraiser of the year, which is Christmas at Callenwald, which is a must-see tour of the estate. Just amazing. But yes, callenwald.org. And you can like us on Facebook. Just look up Callenwald Fine Arts Center.
Excellent. Thanks so much. And Steve Church, where do we go to find out all the latest and greatest from Georgia Pacific?
Oh, yeah, the best paper products and building products and packaging. That would be gp.com is our website, Facebook / Georgia Pacific, and all the other social media sites as well.
Elaine, if people want to find out more about the Leadership Atlanta program, where can they find more information?
At leadershipatlanta.org. And I would be remiss and I could probably lose my job if I didn't mention Leadership Atlanta is hosting CoLab, a collaborative leadership summit, at the end of September of this year. And it's modeled off of TEDx Atlanta, where we are bringing in experts to talk about education, innovation, and talent. And I just monitor our social media sites. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter at Leadership Atlanta ATL. And we look forward to seeing you there.
Well, it was a pleasure having you all on the show today. Special thanks to all of my guests, Elaine Hudson, Manager of Marketing and Programs for Leadership Atlanta, Steve Church with Georgia Pacific, Peggy Still Johnson, Callenwald Fine Arts Center, and Jim Durrett, Buckhead Community Improvement District. I'm Elizabeth Gordon. You've been listening to Burr and Foreman's Results Matter Radio, and we will talk to you next week.
This has been a joint production of Burr and Foreman and Business Radio X. Burr and Foreman is a full-service law firm with offices across the Southeast. If results matter to you and you want them to matter to your law firm, please give Burr and Foreman a call at 404-685-4337. For more information and to find the right attorney for you, visit burr.com. That's B-U-R-R.com.